If you've not heard the words of that song, you've missed something great. That leaves me weak and thrilled at the same time. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read the following. To the church of Thessalonica, in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us peace within our hearts, that we know that as long as Satan's here on earth, there will never be peace in the world. But our relationship with you and those around us are far more important than the world. So let us have peace, calmness, and allow you to work through us. Be good news to others, because we tell the good news of Jesus. There's tragedy in this world, heartbreak. There's sadness as well. We pray for those who are in need, those who need medical help, emotional help, physical help, financial help, spiritual help. We know that all must come from you, Lord. Let us be an instrument to use. Be with our military and our missionaries in foreign fields who protect us, those who are here in the states that protect us, the peacekeepers, the first responders, and those who serve. Bless them. Maybe, Father, always appreciate what you've done for us. Help us in this next 2 weeks as we come to the celebration, the speaking of the birth of Christ, to understand it's not only his birth, but more important, even his death, burial, and resurrection that brings us salvation. Be with the speaker today, I pray in Christ's name, and amen. We ought always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightfully so, because your faith is growing more and more. The love that you all have for one another is increasing. This was written somewhere between 50 and 51 A.D. The Apostle Paul had written this church at Thessalonica just prior to this. Now, this wasn't just writing a letter to be writing, and it was writing a letter to where it was essentially to help people. Thessalonica was the capital city of all Macedonia and Greece. It was made this powerful city because it was in the middle of all the trade. It was near the travel on the water. Rivers ran through it because it was going to the sea. There were trade routes where people would come in and out. And it was a cosmopolitan, a metropolitan city. They were educated. Anywhere the Greeks left behind a great number of their citizens to grow and to teach, they brought education with them. It was because of Alexander the Great and his travels, his conquerors, that the Koine Greek, the language that the apostles wrote and the writers wrote the New Testament in, was spread. And that's why Paul could go from place to place and teach, because they had the same language. I, for some reason yesterday, turned on a partial part of one of the Star Wars movies. I have no idea which one it was. But those people talk different than we do. Of course, I sit here in this congregation, you people talk different than I do, so it's quite a combination. But they would have translator drones. Our C-3PO was a translator. Paul didn't need a translator. They all spoke Koine Greek. And it's a city that had a lot of needs, but had a lot of opportunities. And when Paul went in first and taught, they were very overwhelmingly, decided to follow his teachings of Jesus. Yet when he left, the evildoers came in. The ones who were not satisfied, one, with Judaism at all, or they were not satisfied that the Christians did not need Judaism at all, because they were going straight to Jesus and not through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it was causing confusion. Then there was a second group that believed it 100% but didn't understand. You know, sometimes we can believe things and not understand a word that's going on. Our governor just this past week declared that all high school seniors must now take a course in civics. I thought everybody knew civics. Do you know why we pledge allegiance to that flag? Do you know why we have different responsibilities and respects? Well, it was taught to us, or it should have been. Paul had tried to teach the early Christians things about Jesus that they did not understand. And he had to go back and teach them. See, they had been studying a lot about the end of the world. Parousia, it's called. End times. Studying the end times. And so many of them were so excited about that they had decided that, well, it's coming so fastly that we're just going to quit work and sit down and wait for it. Paul had to correct them. See, often you could be gung-ho about something and be dead wrong about it. So Paul wrote him back and said, you need to know this. So sometime, less than a year's period of time, maybe 3 or 4 months from the time that Paul had sent the letter to the response came back to Paul, what the people had said, he sent him the second letter. He wanted to say, this is what we need to know. There's a thing called a C&E Christian. Y'all know what that term means, C&E? Christmas and Easter. Okay, now I've got you. And people come in twice a year, and I think that's all they need to know until they get their next booster shot the next Christmas or the next Easter. It needs to be a continuous time of learning. And that's what Paul did. And that's why I think it's so important. That's why my ministry has been based on teaching the Scriptures one after another. Because I guarantee there's some things or two that you've probably heard in this building that you may not have heard before or just need to be refreshed on. And Paul wanted to give them this booster shot. So that even though they worked very hard, they were working in the right direction. You know, you can work as hard as you can. Matter of fact, I got a real terrible phone call this week. We have a water leak on your property, Mr. Elam. And it's leaking 300 gallons an hour. Well, if you're trying to fill up a swimming pool, that's a pretty good amount. If you're trying to be careful with your costs, that's not a good amount. So we had some brave young men. If you see the guys walking around like this, it's the ones that did the shovel work out here. And we're not mining for gold like they do on Gold Rush. We're mining for water this week. And they got it fixed. And it was a lot of effort. And anything you do right usually takes a lot of effort. Because if anybody could do it, it would be done usually wrong. And Paul wanted the Christians to know there in Thessalonica and those that they spread out to and reach others, here's the right way and here's the wrong way. I would be a great chef if I knew how to cook. I would tell Becky last night, we watch these cooking shows. I said, I would like to be a taste tester on some of these shows. There's a National Cookie Com. It's a convention that you just make cookies. Fellas, wouldn't that sound like we just died and went to heaven? Because I spent too long there, I probably think I died. But you get too much of the right thing, but you got to go in the right direction. And hard work without knowing where you're going doesn't get you anywhere. And Paul says, listen, you guys are really, you got it on the ball, but you're playing the wrong game. You're using a tennis ball to play golf. It doesn't work. Sometimes we need our own corrections so we can go forward. And Paul's trying to tell them about the brotherly love. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. As a result, you will be counted worthy in the kingdom of God. Counted worthy in the kingdom of God? It's not that we've earned it. We've done what was right to accept it. And so often we get disappointed or we don't see what we want to see and the reactions aren't properly, and it's because we were looking in the wrong direction. I didn't wear glasses until I turned 40, and all of a sudden I can't see the food to eat. When that happened, I went and got glasses. But every morning, every Sunday, I steam my clothes. I like a steamer, the iron. The problem is I get too close to the steamer and my glasses get fogged up. You know? You might as well put Vaseline on them. Can't see nothing anyway. Too often we go through life with Vaseline on our glasses and we're looking ahead, but we don't know what we've seen. And Paul is trying to give us an explanation for it. And it's okay, let me tell you, it's okay for you to sit for a few minutes a day or one, two, or three times a week and open up the book and say, what do I want to learn today? Do I want to learn Old Testament history? That's good. That's what we do on Wednesdays. Do I want to learn New Testament teaching? That's good too. But get more involved. If you have a trade, anybody remember wash machines? No, I mean wash machines. Put it in, it goes, and you pick it up, and it goes, and it runs through the tubes that you don't want to stick your finger, the ringer washer, you know, like that. Try to get a guy that knows how to do that work on one of them today. This thing, they tell me, I've actually heard this more than once, there are more electronics, serious electronics, in a modern wash machine now than there was in the first space shuttle, no, in the first flight to the moon. That little old box. And I thought I was an electrician, but I tried to repair a washer one time. I had enough time in it to go buy a new one, which I did. We've got to be counted worthy. And sometimes we're suffering, he says. We say, why should a Christian suffer? Why should we hear of all of our friends? That just was told by my brother and sister here a few minutes ago that a good friend of ours that ran our church camp, Lexington, Kentucky Bluegrass Christian Camp, is dying of inoperable cancer. Is that what it was? A young man, Kelly Brandenburg. And we were saddened. And he'll suffer and his wife will suffer and those who know him will suffer. But the reward at the end of that passage is far greater than the suffering he or they will go through. And that's that way with all of us. I doubt there's a single one of us in here today that's not had a hard time at least once or twice in life. Matter of fact, we probably have the scars and the stitches. And we have glasses and we have hearing aids and we have heartaches and heartbreaks to prove it. Does that mean we should quit? No, it means we've stood the test. We've been prepared. Before some of these football games and basketball games, they show, you know, they get paid $3 million, $10 million a year to throw a little orange ball in a hole or swing a little club at that little bitty golf ball and hit it, which the golf ball never did anything to them. They still beat on it all day long. I mean, and the run and go and knock somebody down in football. You say, well, anybody could do that. Have you seen the training those guys go through? They pick up those big old ropes big enough to hold a ship, and they go like this. I'm thinking, that hurts me just watching them go like this. But they're suffering to get something good, and that's okay. Those of you that have had babies or been around pregnant women know about suffering. You ladies, that's why they call it labor, because it ain't easy. But those things we grow from. This will happen when Jesus is revealed to heaven in a blazing fire of his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and will not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be scary. That there will be. You remember school? Little. You remember going in and you knew there was going to be a test the next day, but there was really good Batman that night? Or I mean the real Batman, not. I mean, Robin, you know, the real good Batman. Or you was watching the Lone Ranger somewhere, and you forgot to study, or they wanted to go to a movie or play outside until dark, and you didn't study that night, and you walk into that test unprepared. Or the teacher said, it's a pop quiz. You were supposed to read chapters 2 and 3 last night. We're going to have a quiz on chapters 2 and 3. You're thinking, I don't feel good right now. It's going to be that way for those who aren't prepared for Jesus and have not suffered and worked for him. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of the might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, to be marveled at among those who believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. So he's writing them a pep song, a pep statement, a good old boy, attaboy type of thing. You were ready. Let's try to get those who aren't ready to be ready. If you got a friend that doesn't know what the true meaning, the true reason for the season, I've heard that line before, reason for the season. If they don't know, try to share that with them. Let them know. It's about the love of God. The day he sent Jesus to teach his people. And the Father love of God, the day he will send Jesus back to collect his people, because they were all tore up about that, and they didn't want to think we're going through all this for nothing, for no reason whatsoever. 2 weeks from Wednesday, I got to go to jury duty, the 8th. Congratulations, you've been. My number is 101. I think they're going to call me. I probably better show up that day. Last time I did it, I sit in a chair from 8 o'clock until 12 o'clock. And they come in and say, good news. This case has been settled out of court, and you can go home now. I'm thinking, I've been sitting in this chair watching a Disney movie about a dolphin that didn't have a tail for 4 hours, because they just play it over and over, and then I can go home and get my $8 jury fee. That was such a disappointment. I'd rather heard something gory or glory one. I don't know. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. And by his power, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness. See, it's not in futility. And does Paul, if you notice right here, tells us we should be praying constantly. That's why there is a sheet of paper each week that tells about our prayer request. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe I've heard that more than once. And I know a person in this church that likes to use that phrase a lot. And I have to believe it, that God does hear our prayers. If not, why would they bother to have told us about Jesus praying? And actually, in some of the cases, gave us his very words of what he prayed. We start each Sunday morning. That's not the Our Father prayer. That's our conversation with God the way Jesus taught us to pray. And if he told us he wants us to pray, why would he not listen? And if we ask it properly, he'll give us what we need, whether we know it or not. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the positions in our federal government, and sometimes I think it's serious and sometimes I think it's a payback for people contributing money, is called an ambassador. Y'all heard the ambassador this and ambassador that. We are ambassadors for Jesus. Because when those ambassadors go and where they stay, that's considered part of America. Their houses, no matter what country, even if it's a communist country, where they have and where their embassy is part of America. Why would it not be the same if we're ambassadors for Christ of where we go and what we say? We're representing Jesus. Our words should speak highly of him and helpful to others. And we should be happy in what we have and set to task, that of service. Oh, but preacher, I'm not very well educated, and I come from a small town, Eastern Kentucky, and I like spam, and you know, we can go on and on and say we're people of insignificance, but it's not true. We're very significant. If we were not significant, why would he allow himself to be arrested, to be beaten, to be nailed to a cross, hung up on a tree, and to die a death with two thieves and malefactors? Because we are significant. John 3:16 told us that, and I got to work it in because I use that every Sunday morning. For? No. We got to say it like we mean it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We've got to believe that. If not, then why did he even bother if it doesn't make any difference? And he did come, and it does make a difference, and that's why he did it, and we've got to believe it and use it in our lives. Now, if you watch the television, there's a lot of ads for Christmas stuff. As well as that, I wish I knew if that little hat that you put on your head that they advertise will make your hair grow back. I would buy one of those. Every morning at 5:55 on Fox, they play that hat. If any of y'all get one, let me know if it works. But there'll be all kind of commercials, and there'll be all kind of specials. And if you watch Lifeline or Hallmark, there's he likes her, she likes him. They don't tell each other. They break up. They get together happily ever after. I mean, we're going to get really confused and distracted in the next 2 weeks. Don't forget about Jesus. Now, we'll talk next week. We'll talk about the baby and the manger, of course. But that's not the most important part. It's the resurrection and the ascension and the return that we should concentrate. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them concerning this coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. We ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether a prophecy or by the word of mouth, or better, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. They thought within a couple of weeks of being baptized that Jesus was coming back and they're going to be snatched up. Nowhere did Jesus ever tell us that. When he was pressed as to when he's coming back, he said, only the Father knows. So these people who were all fired up at first, all gung-ho, kind of reminds me when you move to town, you go out and find the colors of the local ball team, or you buy tickets for a football season, or all these type of things. Our grandson is playing football. Now, our grandson should be playing football. He's 6'2", weighs about 280 or 290. He belongs in football. So I go out and buy season tickets for his games this year. And we got a bumper sticker that says Green Wave. And we're supporting him. And we're rah-rahing all we can. Why could we not do that for Jesus? Why could we not rah-rah him all we can and be excited about him and spend time with him? I enjoy the football, but I'd much rather be with you guys. Y'all, you-ins, however you want me to say it. Depends on where you're from. He hasn't already come. Because we wouldn't be here if he had. He would have taken care of us and taken us away and given us that reward that he's promised to us, God's promised to us. So don't get discouraged after a long day or a long month or a long year or a long decade or a long life of work. God has got a plan. Don't let anyone deceive you in that way. That day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Hey, the devil is going to be back, and very obvious. We will talk when we get to the book of Revelation. I look forward to that, of course. About the mark of the beast. About the reign of Satan. Those things will take place. Be ready. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in the God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. There will be false gods. There'll be false rumors of gods. Don't get distracted. There are many religious sects. There are many religious groups in America who have had leaders who claim that they are the second coming. The Hellbob Comet people, the people with followed Jim Jones down and drank the purple Kool-Aid, and on and on and on. They'll be led wrong. And all their efforts and all their enthusiasm serves no purpose because it's for the wrong direction. Somewhere in my family, I'm told that I have Daniel Boone in me. Until I get lost. Before the GPS, I used to get lost a lot. Becky said, oh, Daniel, let you down today. The devil will try to lead us wrong. He will give us the wrong signals. He will show us the wrong direction. We can't give in. We've got to be positive about it. And this devil will acclaim himself God. Well, if he's God, he'll show us he's God. Not by his miracles, but by his truth. By his fulfilling the scriptures. We need to be prepared. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so he may be revealed at the proper time. God's not ready for the devil to come in. He wants the world to be saved first, so he's keeping the devil away so that more and more people can be reached and preach and teach and grow. That is why we don't give three-year-olds the keys to the car. Or for Christmas, give four-year-old little girls a Gingsu, sharpen them little knives that'll cut you real quick. Or word-burning sets to four-year-olds. There's certain things that people aren't ready for. We need to make sure we're ready for what God gives us. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. Do you ever see evil on your television? If you don't, you're not watching the evening news. You're not watching the commercials. You're not listening to talk. There's a lot of evil in this world. Paul says it has to happen. But it also says that the devil's not at full reign until God gives the protector of America and of the United States and of the world out of the way. Then the devil will be unleashed for a period of time to wreak havoc, to distract people, to cause sin and destroy lives. But he can't take out the Christians until Jesus is sent back. Yes, we're going to suffer. I mean, in this room right here, I know that some of you have been through World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all the goings on in the western part of the world over here in Colombia and South America and all the stuff's going on in the Middle East, Kosovo, remember that one? Desert Storm, all this other stuff we're doing, trying to protect the Christians. Pray for the Christians that are in the Middle East. There's a whole group that ISIS is trying to kill, and the Syrians don't care about them, so they're going to kill them too. They're living on the edge of Iraq. The Christians there that need our help, the Zetis and all. Pray for the Christians around the world that need help. This is not a perfect world because Satan came in. But when Jesus comes back and converts it, it will be a perfect world. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, he tells us in the book of Revelation. For the first heaven, for the first earth, the heavens are gone away. I present it to my son, for his bride is a church, beautifully adorned for Christ. The plans are already there. Are we going to be part of the invitation list? That's the key to it. We've heard stories growing up about invitation lists. I think the one, and if correct me, ladies, if I'm wrong, Sleeping Beauty, one of the, I don't know who they were, good or bad or what, witches or whatever use them, didn't get her invitation, so she put the curse on Sleeping Beauty and prick her finger and all that kind of stuff. There may have been something you didn't get invited to that you were upset about. God is inviting all of us. He's told us through Jesus. He's told us through the prophets in the past. He's telling us through Paul and the other writers at the present time as we study him. The lost one will be revealed who the Lord will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. And he will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders to serve the lie and all the ways of wickedness to see those who are perishing. He's coming, and God knows he's coming. Wickedness is coming. Satan's works are coming. He works powers and wonders. You ever watch those magicians on TV? All these things they see, and then somebody will later come along with a show, which is how they did it. I had a friend who was involved in one of those with those magician fellers. They moved. He disappeared a big 737 airplane. And how did he do it? He said they made a big circle around the airplane. About 25 people in the front worked for the magician. Into the front wheels of the airplane, there was a little big cable, a real thin steel cable. All the people had blindfolds on so they couldn't peek. But at the right time, the ones in the front moved back. A tractor way down the way pulled that cable, and that airplane was taken behind a hangar where nobody could see it. The ones in the front close it, poof, poof, he's magic. There's one he did, the same magician did something about disappearing a submarine. People were there watching it. They start sending bubbles up, and it covered a submarine. There's a lot of things that the magical people supposedly, sleight of hand. The devil's sleight of hand. And he will try to make good things look bad and bad things look good. And for that, we must be very careful. We must be wise and prepared that he doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want Christ to succeed. And he doesn't care because the devil's going to hell. I probably didn't mention that earlier, did I? And the devil wants to go to hell. He wants to fill it up with everybody going with him. But God doesn't want that. For this reason, God sends them powerful delusions so they will believe the lie. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed in the truth, but delight in righteousness. Matthew 16:16. Who do people say that I am? Well, some said you're one of the prophets or teachers. etc., etc. But who do you say that I am? Jeremiah, even. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed to you by my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, and Peter's name was tricky. Petrus means rock, and the other one means stone. Pebbles and rocks, huge rocks, stones. Said upon, you are Peter, you are a pebble. But upon this stone, this great giant stone, which is Jesus is the Christ, I shall build my church upon it. Church isn't built on Simon Peter. The church is built on Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. Stand firm. For when we believe that, and when we accept him, we follow his commandments, just like on the back of your bulletin, we hear about him, we believe him, we confess him after we repented, we're buried in water, grave of baptism, to rise from it. When that happens, salvation comes, and the devil loses another one. Twice the week before Christmas, why are you preaching about salvation? Because that's the reason for Christmas. It's for salvation coming to us. If you're outside of the God, if you're not following his ways, we give the opportunity now as we sing hymn number 483, right there. Think about what God's done for you and what all little he asked you to do for him. Stand with me as we sing, repent. You've been gone for a month, you can walk faster. There you go, don't hurt yourself. Stay with me as we sing, Miss Pam, 483.
Have you any room for Jesus? He had room for you. Do you have room for him? Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore our load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, will you enter?